Welcome to a reading of Owen's Discourse on Communion with God. This Reformation MP3 audio resource is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. Many free Reformation resources, as well as our complete online catalogue containing classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, the Puritan hard drive, digital downloads, MP3s, DVDs, and much more at great discounts are on the web at www.puritandownloads.com. Also, please consider pray and act upon the important truths found in the following quotation by Charles Spurgeon. As the Apostle says to Timothy, so also he says to everyone, give yourself to reading. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read. Renounce as much as you will all light literature, but study as much as possible sound theological works, especially the Puritanic writers and expositions of the Bible. The best way for you to spend your leisure is to be either reading or praying. And now to SWRB's reading of Owen's Discourse on Communion with God, which we hope you find to be a great blessing and which we pray draws you nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. John 14, verse 6. Of Communion with God, Part 1, of Communion with each person distinctly, of Communion with the Father. Chapter 1, that the saints have communion with God, 1 John 1 verse 3, considered to that purpose. Somewhat of the nature of communion in general. In the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 3, the apostle assures them to whom he wrote that the fellowship of believers is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And this he doth with such an unusual kind of expression as bears the force of an assertion whence we have rendered it, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The outward appearance and condition of the saints in those days being very mean and contemptible, their leaders being accounted as the filth of this world and as the offscouring of all things, the inviting others unto fellowship with them and a participation of the precious things which they did enjoy, seems to be exposed to many contrary reasonings and objections. What benefit is there in communion with them? Is it anything else but to be sharers in troubles, reproaches, scorns, and all manner of evils? To prevent or remove these and the like exceptions, the apostle gives them to whom he wrote to know, and that with some earnestness of expression, that notwithstanding all the disadvantages their fellowship lay under unto a carnal view, yet in truth it was, and would be found to be, in reference to some with whom they held it, very honourable, glorious, and desirable. For truly, saith he, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This being so earnestly and directly asserted by the Apostle, we may boldly follow him with our affirmation, namely, that the saints of God have communion with him, and a holy and spiritual communion it is, as shall be declared. How this is spoken distinctly in reference to the Father and the Son must afterward be fully opened and carried on. By nature, since the entrance of sin, no man hath any communion with God. He is light, we darkness. And what communion hath light with darkness? He is life, we are dead. He is love, and we are enmity. And what agreement can there be between us? Men in such a condition have neither Christ, nor hope, nor God in the world. Ephesians 2:12. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Chapter 4, verse 18. Now two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. Amos 3, verse 3. Whilst there is this distance between God and man, there is no walking together for them in any fellowship or communion. Our first interest in God was so lost by sin as that there was left unto us in ourselves no possibility of a recovery. As we had deprived ourselves of all power for a returnal, so God had not revealed any way of access unto himself, or that he could, under any consideration, be approached unto by sinners in peace. Not any work that God had made, nor any attribute that he had revealed, could give the least light into such a dispensation. The manifestation of grace and pardoning mercy, which is the only door of entrance into any communion, is not committed unto any, but unto him alone, in whom it is, by whom that grace and mercy was purchased, through whom it is dispensed, who reveals it from the bosom of the Father. Hence this communion and fellowship with God is not in express terms mentioned in the Old Testament. The thing itself is found there, but the clear light of it and the boldness of faith in it is discovered in the Gospel and by the Spirit administered therein. By that Spirit we have this liberty, 2 Corinthians 3, 17-18. Abram was the friend of God, Isaiah 41, verse 8. David, a man after his own heart, Enoch walked with him, Genesis 5, verse 22, all enjoying this communion and fellowship for the substance of it. But the way into the holiest was not yet made manifest whilst the first tabernacle was standing, Hebrews 9, verse 8. Though they had communion with God, that they had not parousion, a boldness and confidence in that communion. This follows the entrance of our high priest into the most holy place, Hebrews 4:16, 10:19. The veil also was upon them, that they had not freedom and liberty in their access to God, 2 Corinthians 3:15 and 16, etc. But now in Christ we have boldness and access with confidence to God, Ephesians 3 verse 12. This boldness and access with confidence the saints of old were not acquainted with, but Jesus Christ alone, then, on all considerations as to being and full manifestation, is this distance taken away. He hath consecrated for us a new and living way, the old being quite shut up, through the veil, that is to say his flesh, Hebrews 10:20. And through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father, Ephesians 2 verse 18. Ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, etc. Verses 13 and 14. Of this foundation of all our communion with God, more afterward and at large. Upon this new bottom and foundation, by this new and living way, are sinners admitted into communion with God and have fellowship with him. And truly, for sinners to have fellowship with God, the infinitely holy God, is an astonishing dispensation. To speak a little of it in general, communion relates to things and persons, a joint participation in anything, whatever, good or evil, duty or enjoyment, nature or actions, gives this denomination to them so partaking of it. A common interest in the same nature gives all men a fellowship or communion therein. Of the elect it is said, Hebrews 2:14, those children partook of, or had fellowship in, with the rest of the world, flesh and blood. The same common nature with the rest of mankind, and therefore Christ also came into the same fellowship. There is also a communion as to state and condition, whether it be good or evil, and this either in things internal and spiritual, such is the communion of saints among themselves, or in respect of outward things. So it is with Christ and the two thieves as to one condition, and to one of them in respect of another. They were under the same sentence to the cross, Luke 23:40. They had communion as to that evil condition whereunto they were adjudged. And one of them requested, which he also obtained, a participation in that blessed condition whereupon our Saviour was immediately to enter. There is also a communion or fellowship in actions, whether good or evil. In good is that communion and fellowship in the gospel, or in the performance and celebration of that worship of God which in the gospel is instituted, which the saints do enjoy, Philippians 1:5, which, as to the general kind of it, David so rejoices in, Psalm 42:4. In evil was that wherein Simeon and Levi were brethren, Genesis 49:5. They had communion in that evil act of revenge and murder. Our communion with God is not comprised in any one of these kinds. Of some of them it is exclusive. It cannot be natural. It must be voluntary and by consent. It cannot be of state and conditions, but in actions. It cannot be in the same actions upon a third party, but in a return from one to another. The infinite could be no friendship. The infinite disparity that is between God and man made the great philosopher conclude that there could be no friendship between them. Some distance in the persons holding friendship he could allow, nor could exactly determine the bounds and extent therein, but that between God and man in his apprehension left no place for it. Another says indeed that there is a certain fellowship between God and man, but the general intercourse of providence is all he apprehended. Some arose to higher expressions, but they understood nothing whereof they spake. This knowledge is hid in Christ, as will afterward be made to appear. It is too wonderful for nature, as sinful and corrupted. Terror and apprehensions of death at the presence of God is all that it guides unto. But we have, as we have said, a new foundation and a new discovery of this privilege. Now, communion is the mutual communication of good things, as wherein the persons holding that communion are delighted, bottomed upon some union between them. So it was with Jonathan and David, their souls clave to one another, 1 Samuel 10:17, in love. There was the union of love between them, and then they really communicated all issues of love mutually. In spiritual things, this is more eminent. Those who enjoy this communion have the most excellent union for the foundation of it. And the issues of that union, which they mutually communicate, are the most precious and eminent. Of the union which is the foundation of all that communion we have with God, I have spoken largely elsewhere, and have nothing farther to add thereunto. Our communion, then, with God consisteth in his communication of himself unto us, with our returnal unto him, of that which he requireth and accepteth, flowing from that union, which in Jesus Christ we have with him. And it is twofold. One, perfect and complete, in the full fruition of his glory and total giving up of ourselves to him, resting him in him as our utmost end, which we shall enjoy when we see him as he is. And two, initial and incomplete, in the first fruits and dawnings of that perfection which we have here in grace, which only I shall handle. It is then, I say, of that mutual communion in giving and receiving after a most holy and spiritual manner, which is between God and the saints, while they walk together in the covenant of peace, ratified in the blood of Jesus, whereof we are to treat. And this we shall do, if God permit, in the meantime praying that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, of the riches of his grace, recovered us from a state of enmity into a condition of communion and fellowship with himself, that both he that writes and they that read the words of his mercy may have a taste of this sweetness and excellencies therein, as to be stirred up to farther longing after the fullness of his salvation and the eternal fruition of him in glory. Chapter 2. That the saints have this communion distinctly with the Father, Son, and Spirit. 1 John 5:7 open to this purpose. 1 Corinthians 12:4-6. Ephesians 2:verse 18. Father and Son mentioned jointly in this communion. The Father solely, the Son also, and the Holy Ghost singly. The saints' respective reward in all worship to each person manifested. Faith in the Father, John 5:9 and 10, and love towards him, 1 John 2:15, Malachi 1:6. So in praise and prayer and praise, it is so likewise with the Son, John 14 verse 1, of our communion with the Holy Ghost, the true Father confirmed. That the saints have communion with God, and what communion in general is, was declared in the first chapter. The manner how this communion is carried on, and the matter wherein it doth consist, comes next under consideration. For first, in respect to the distinct persons of the Godhead with whom they have this fellowship, it is either distinct and peculiar, or else obtained and exercised jointly and in common. That the saints have distinct communion with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that is, distinctly with the Father, and distinctly with the Son, and distinctly with the Holy Spirit, and in what the peculiar appropriation of this distinct communion unto the several persons doth consist, must in the first place be made manifest. 1 John 5:7. The Apostle tells us, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. In heaven they are, and bear witness to us. And what is it that they bear witness unto? Unto the sonship of Christ, and the salvation of believers in his blood, of the carrying on of that, both by blood and water, justification and sanctification is here their treating. Now how do they bear witness hereto? Even as three distinct witnesses. When God witnesseth concerning our salvation, surely it is incumbent on us to receive his testimony. And as he beareth witness, so we are to receive it. Now this is done distinctly. The Father beareth witness, the Son beareth witness, and the Holy Spirit beareth witness, for they are three distinct witnesses. So then we are to receive their several testimonies, and in doing so we have communion with them severally. For in this giving and receiving of testimony consists no small part of our fellowship with God, wherein their distinct witnessing consists will be afterward declared. 1 Corinthians 12:4-6. The Apostle, speaking of the distribution of gifts and graces unto the saints, ascribes them distinctly in respect of the fountain of their communication unto the distinct persons. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, that one and the self-same Spirit, that is the Holy Ghost, verse 11. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, verse 5. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God, etc., even the Father, Ephesians 4, verse 6. So graces and gifts are bestowed, and so are they received. And not only in the emanation of grace from God and the elapses of the Spirit on us, but also in all our approaches unto God is the same distinction observed. For through Christ we have access by one Spirit unto the Father, Ephesians 2:18. Our access unto God, wherein we have communion with him, is Dia Christu, through Christ, en pneumati, in the Spirit, and proston patera, unto the Father. The persons being here considered as engaged distinctly unto the accomplishment of the counsel of the will of God revealed in the Gospel. Sometimes, indeed, there is express mention made only of the Father and the Son. 1 John 1:3, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The particle and is both distinguishing and uniting. Also John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. It is in this communion wherein the Father and Son do make their abode with the soul. Sometimes the Son only is spoken of as to this purpose. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And Revelation 3:20, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me, of which place afterward. Sometimes the Spirit alone is mentioned, 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. This distinct communion, then, of the saints with the Father, Son, and Spirit is very plain in Scripture. But yet it may admit of farther demonstration. Only this caution I must lay in beforehand. Whatever is affirmed in the pursuit of this truth, it is done with relation to the explanation ensuing in the beginning of the next chapter. The way and means, then, on the part of the saints, whereby in Christ they enjoy communion with God, are all the spiritual and holy actings and outgoings of their souls in those graces, and by those ways wherein both the moral and instituted worship of God doth consist, faith, love, trust, joy, etc., are the natural or moral worship of God, whereby those in whom they have communion with him. Now these are either immediately acted on God, and not tied to any ways or means outwardly manifesting themselves, or else they are farther drawn forth in solemn prayer and praises, according unto that way which he hath appointed. That the Scripture doth distinctly assign all these unto the Father, Son, and Spirit, manifesting that the saints do in all of them, both as they are purely and nakedly moral, and as farther clothed with instituted worship, respect each person respectively. In that which, to give light to the assertion in hand, I shall farther declare by particular instances. 1. For the Father, faith, love, obedience, etc., are peculiarly and distinctly yielded by the saints unto him, and he is peculiarly manifested in those ways as acting peculiarly towards them, which should draw them forth and stir them up thereunto. He gives testimony unto and beareth witness of his Son, 1 John 5:9. This is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. In his bearing witness, he is an object of belief. When he gives testimony, which he doth as the Father, because he doth it of the Son, he is to he received in it by faith. And this is affirmed, verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. To believe on the Son of God, in this place, is to receive the Lord Christ as the Son given unto us. For all the ends of the Father's love, upon the credit of the Father's testimony, and therefore therein is faith immediately acted on the Father. So it follows in the next words, he that believeth not God, that is the Father who bears witness to the Son, hath made him a liar. Ye believe in God, saith our Saviour, John 14, verse 1, that is the Father as such, for he adds, believe also in me, or believe you in God, believe also in me, God as the prima veritas, upon whose authority is founded, and whereunto all divine faith is ultimately resolved, is not to be considered as peculiarly expressive of any person, but comprehending the whole deity, which undoubted undividedly is the prime object thereof. But in this particular, it is the testimony and authority of the Father as such, therein of which we speak, and whereupon faith is distinctly fixed on him, which if we were not so, the Son could not add, believe also in me. The like also is said of love. 1 John 2:15. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That is the love which we bear to him, not that which we receive from him. The Father here is placed as the object of our love, in opposition to the world, which takes up our affections. Hey agape to patros. The father denotes the might, matter and object, not the efficient cause of the love inquired after. And this love of him as father is that which he calls his honour. Malachi 1:6. Father, these graces as acted in prayer and praises and as clothed with instituted worship are peculiar directed unto him. Ye call on the Father, 1 Peter 1:17, Ephesians 3:14 and 15, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Bowing the knee compriseth the whole worship of God, both that which is moral, in the universal obedience he requireth, and those peculiar ways of carrying it on which are by him appointed. Isaiah 45, verse 23. Unto me, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear, which, verses 24, 25, he declareth to consist in their acknowledging of him for righteousness and strength. Yet it seems sometimes to comprehend the orderly subjection of the whole creation unto his sovereignty. In this place of the apostle, it hath a far more restrained acceptation, and is but a figurative expression of prayer, taken from the most expressive bodily posture to be used in that duty. This he further manifests, Ephesians 3:16-17, declaring at large what his aim was, and whereabout his thoughts were exercised in that bowing of his knees. The workings, then, of the Spirit of grace in that duty are distinctly directed to the Father as such, as the fountain of the Deity, and of all good things in Christ, as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore the same apostle doth, in another place, express, conjoin, and yet as expressly distinguish the Father and the Son in directing his supplications. 1 Thessalonians 3:11. God himself, even our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. A like precedent also have you of thanksgiving, Ephesians 1:3-4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, etc. I shall not add those very many places wherein the several particulars then do concur unto that whole divine worship, not to be communicated unto any by nature, not God, without idolatry. When the saints do hold communion with God, are distinctly directed to the person of the Father. 2. It is also in reference unto the Son. John 14, verse 1. Ye believe in God, saith Christ. Believe also in me. Believe also, act faith distinctly on me, faith divine, supernatural, that faith whereby you believe in God, that is the Father. There is a believing of Christ, namely that he is the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. That is that whose neglect our Saviour so threatened unto the Pharisees. John 8:24. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. In this sense, faith is not immediately fixed on the Son, being only an owning of him, that is the Christ to be the Son, but closing with the testimony of the Father concerning him. But there is also a believing on him called believing on the name of the Son of God, 1 John 5:13, so also John 9:36. Yea, the distinct affixing of faith, affiance, and confidence on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the Son of God, is most frequently passed, John 3:16, God, that is the Father, so loved the world, that whosoever believeth in him, that is in the Son, should not perish. The Son, who is given of the Father, is believed on. He that believed on him is not condemned. Verse 18. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Verse 13. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. John 6:29-40. 1 John 5:10. The foundation of the whole is laid. John 5:23. That all men should honour the Son, even as they honour the Father. He that honoureth not the Son, honoureth not the Father which hath sent him. But this honour and worship of the Son I have treated at large elsewhere, and shall not in general insist upon it again. For love, I shall only add that solemn apostolical benediction, Ephesians 6:24. Grace be with you all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. That is, with divine love, the love of religious worship, which is the only incorrupt love of the Lord Jesus. Father, that faith, hope and love, acting themselves in all manner of obedience and appointed worship, are peculiarly due from the saints, and distinctly directed unto the Son, is abundantly manifest from that solemn doxology, Revelation 1, 5 and 6. Unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Which yet is set forth with more glory, chapter 5, verse 8. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of the saints. And verses 13, 14. Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. The Father and the Son, he that sits upon the throne and the Lamb, are held out jointly, yet distinctly, as the adequate object of all divine worship and honour for ever and ever. As therefore Stephen, in his solemn dying invocation, fixes his faith and hope distinctly on him, Acts 7, verse 59-60, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, and Lord, lay not this sin to their charge, for he knew that the Son of Man had power to forgive sins only. And this worship of the Lord Jesus, the apostle makes the discriminating character of the saints. 1 Corinthians 1:2, withal, saith he, that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. That is, with all the saints of God. And invocation generally comprises the whole worship of God. This, then, is the due of our mediator, though as God, as the Son, not as mediator. 3. Thus also it is in reference unto the Holy Spirit of grace. The closing of the great sin of unbelief is still described as an opposition unto and a resisting of that Holy Spirit. And you have distinct mention of the love of the Spirit, Romans 15:30. The Apostle also peculiarly directs his supplication to him in that solemn benediction, 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. And such benedictions are originally supplications. He is likewise entitled unto all instituted worship from the appointment of the administration of baptism in his name, Matthew 28:19, of which things more afterward. Now of the things which have been delivered, this is the sum. There is no grace whereby our souls go forth unto God, no act of divine worship yielded unto him, duty or obedience performed, but they are distinctly directed unto the Father, Son, and Spirit. Now by these and such like ways as these, do we hold communion with God, and therefore we have that communion distinctly, as hath been described. This also may a Father appear. If we consider how distinctly the persons of the Deity are revealed to act in the communication of those good things when the saints have communion with God. As all the spiritual ascendings of our souls are assigned unto them respectively, so all their internal receiving of the communications of God unto them are held out in such a distribution as points at distinct risers and fountains, though not of being in themselves yet, of dispensations unto us. Now this is declared two ways. One, when the same thing, at the same time, ascribed jointly and yet distinctly to all the persons in the Deity, and respectively to each of them, so are grace and peace, Revelation 1:4 and 5, grace be unto you, and peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, etc. The seven spirits before the throne are the Holy Spirit of God, considered as a perfect fountain of every perfect gift and dispensation. All are here joined together, and yet all mentioned as distinguished in their communication of grace and peace unto the saints. Grace and peace be unto you from the Father and from etc. 2. When the same thing is attributed severally and singly unto each person, there is indeed no gracious influence from above, nor elapse of light, life, love, or grace upon our hearts, but proceedeth in such a dispensation. I shall give only one instance, which is very comprehensive, and may be thought to comprise all other particulars, and this is teaching. The teaching of God is the real communication of all and every particular emanation from himself unto the saints, whereof they are made partakers. That promise, they shall be all taught of God, enwraps in itself the whole mystery of grace, as to its actual dispensation unto us, so far as we may be made real partakers of it. Now this is assigned, one, unto the Father. The accomplishment of that promise is peculiarly referred to him, John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes unto me. This teaching, whereby we are translated from death unto life, brought unto Christ, unto a participation of life and love in him, it is of and from the Father, him we hear, of him we learn. By him are we brought unto union and communion with the Lord Jesus. This is his drawing us, his begetting us anew to his own will by his Spirit, and in which work he employs the ministers of the gospel. Acts 26:17-18. 2. Unto the Son. The Father proclaims him from heaven to be the great teacher, in that solemn charge to hear him, which came once and again from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, hear him. The whole of his prophetical, and no small part of his kingly office, consists in this teaching. Herein he said to draw men unto him, as the Father is said to do in his teaching, John 12:32, which he doth with such efficacy that the dead hear his voice and live. The teaching of the Son is life-giving, a spirit-breathing teaching, an effectual influence of light, whereby he shines into darkness, a communication of life, quickening the dead, an opening of blind eyes, and a changing of hard hearts, a pouring out of the Spirit with all the fruits thereof. Hence he claims it as his privilege to be the sole master. Matthew 23:10. One is your master, even Christ. 3. To the Spirit. John 14:26. The Comforter, he shall teach you all things. But the anointing which you have received, said the apostle, abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. 1 John 2:27. That teaching unction, which is not only true, but truth itself, is only the Holy Spirit of God, so that he teacheth also, being given unto us, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. 1 Corinthians 2:12. I have chosen this special instance because, as I told you, it is comprehensive and comprises in itself most of the particulars that might be enumerated, quickening, preserving, etc. This, then, farther drives on the truth that lies under demonstration, there being such a distinct communication of grace from the several persons of the Deity, the saints must needs have distinct communion with them. It remaineth only to intimate, in a word, wherein this distinction lies, and what is the ground thereof. Now this is, that the Father doth it by way of original authority, the Son by the way of communicating from a purchased treasury, the Holy Spirit by the way of immediate efficacy. First, the Father communicates all grace by way of original authority. He quickeneth whom he will, John 5:21, of his own will begat he us, James 1:8. Life-giving power is in respect of original authority, invested in the Father by the way of eminency, and therefore in sending of the quickening Spirit. Christ is said to do it from the Father, or the Father himself to do it. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send, John 14:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, John 15:26, though he also said to send himself on no other account, John 16:7. Secondly, the Son, by way of making out a purchased treasury, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, John 1:16. And whence is this fullness? It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, Colossians 1:19. And upon what account he hath the dispensation of that fullness to him committed, you may see, Philippians 2:8-11. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Isaiah 53, verse 10 and 11. And with this fullness, he hath also authority for the communication of it. John 5, 25 to 27, and Matthew 28, verse 18. Thirdly, the Spirit doth it by the way of immediate efficacy, Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Here are all three comprised, with their distinct concurrence, unto our quickening. Here is the Father's authoritative quickening. He that raised Christ from the dead, and he shall quicken you. And the Son's mediatory quickening, for it is done in the death of Christ. And the Spirit's immediate efficacy, he shall do it by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. He that desires to see this whole matter, farther explained, may consult what I have elsewhere written on this subject. And thus is the distinct communion whereof we treat both proved and demonstrated. Chapter 3. Of the peculiar and distinct communion which the saints have with the Father, observations for the clearing of the whole premised. Our peculiar communion with the Father is in love, 1 John 4, 7 and 8, 2 Corinthians 13, 14, John 16, 26 and 27, Romans 5, verse 5, and John 3, 16, 14, 23, and Titus 3, verse 4. Open to this purpose, what is required of believers to hold communion with the Father in love? His love received by faith. Returns of love to him. God's love to us and ours to him. Wherein they agree, wherein they differ. Having proved that there is such a distinct communion in respect of Father, Son and Spirit, as whereof we speak, it remains that it be further cleared by an induction of instances to manifest what it is and wherein the saints peculiarly hold this communion with the several persons respectively, which also I shall do after the premising some observations necessary to be previously considered, as was promised, for the clearing of what hath been spoken. And they are these that follow. 1. When I assign anything as peculiar, wherein we distinctly hold communion with any person, I do not exclude the other persons from communion with the soul in the very same thing. Only this I say principally, immediately, and by way of eminency, we have in such a thing, or in such a way, communion with some one person, and therein with the others secondarily, and by way of consequence on that foundation. For the person, as the person, or any one of them, is not the prime object of divine worship, but as it is identified with the nature or essence of God. Now the works outwardly are of God, which are commonly said to be common and undivided, are either wholly so in all respects, as all works of common providence, or else being common in respect of their acts, they are distinguished in respect of that principle, or next and immediate rise in the manner of operation. So creation is appropriated to the Father, redemption to the Son, in which sense we speak of these things. 2. There is a concurrence of the actings and operations of the whole deity in that dispensation wherein each person concurs to the work of our salvation and to every act of our communion with each singular person. Look, by whatsoever we hold communion with any person, there is an influence from every person to the putting forth of that act, as suppose it to be the act of faith. It is bestowed on us by the Father. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Ephesians 2:8. Is the Father that revealeth the gospel and Christ therein. Matthew 11:25. And it is purchased for us by the Son. Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ to believe on him. Philippians 1:29. In him are we blessed with spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:13. He bestows on us and increases faith in us. Luke 17:5. And it is wrought in us by the Spirit. He administers that exceeding greatness of his power, which he exercises towards them who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Ephesians 1, 19-20 and Romans 8:11. 3. When I assign any particular thing wherein we hold communion with any person, I do not do it exclusively and to other mediums of communion, but only by way of inducing a special and eminent instance for the proof and manifestation of the former general assertion. Otherwise there is no grace or duty wherein we have not communion with God in the way described. In everything wherein we are made partakers of the divine nature, there is a communication and receiving between God and us, so near are we unto him in Christ. 4. By asserting this distinct communion, which merely respects that order in the dispensation of grace which God is pleased to hold out in the gospel, I intend not in the least to shut up all communion with God under these precincts, his ways being exceeding broad, containing a perfection whereof there is no end, but to prejudice that holy fellowship we have with the whole deity in our walking before him in covenant obedience, which also God assisting, I shall handle hereafter. These few observations being premised, I come now to declare what it is wherein peculiarly and eminently the saints have communion with the Father, and this is love, free, undeserved, and eternal love. This the Father peculiarly fixes upon the saints. This they are immediately to eye in him, to receive of him, and to make such returns thereof as he is delighted withal. This is a great discovery of the gospel, for whereas the Father, as the fountain of the deity, is not known any other way but as full of wrath, anger, and indignation against sin, nor can the sons of men have any other thoughts of him. Romans 1 verse 8, Isaiah 33 verse 13 and 14, Habakkuk 1 verse 13, Psalm 5 4 to 8, 6, and Ephesians 2 verse 3. Here he is now revealed peculiarly as love, as full of it unto us, the manifestation whereof is the peculiar work of the gospel. Titus 3 verse 4. 1. 1 John 8. 1 John 4 verse 8. God is love. That name of God is here taken personally and for the person of the Father, not essentially, is evident from verse 9, where he is distinguished from his only begotten Son, whom he sends unto the world. Now, saith he, the Father is love. That is, not only of an infinitely gracious, tender, compassionate, and loving nature, according as he hath proclaimed himself, Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7, but also one that is eminently and peculiarly dispenses himself unto us in free love. So the apostle sets it forth in the following verses. This is love, verse 9. This is that which I would have you take notice of in him, that he makes out love unto you, in sending his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. So also, verse 10, he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And this is peculiarly to be eyed in him. The Holy Ghost plainly declares, in making it antecedent to the sending of Christ, and all mercies and benefits whatever by him received. This love, I say, in itself, is antecedent to the purchase of Christ, although the whole fruit thereof be made out alone thereby. Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 6. 2. So in that distribution made by the apostle in his solemn parting benediction, 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Ascribing sundry things unto the distinct persons, it is love that he peculiarly and particularly resigns to the Father. And the fellowship of the Spirit is mentioned with the grace of Christ and the love of God, because it is by the Spirit alone that we have fellowship with God in Christ and grace, and with the Father in love, although we have also peculiar fellowship with him, as shall be declared. 3. John 16:26-27, saith our Saviour, I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you. But how is this that our Saviour saith, I say not that I will pray the Father for you, when he saith plainly, chapter 14:16, I will pray the Father for you. The disciples, with all the gracious words, comfortable and faithful promises of their Master, with most heavenly discoveries of his heart unto them, were even fully convinced of his dear and tender affections towards them, as also his continued care and kindness, that he would not forget them when bodily he was gone from them, as he was now upon his departure. But now all their thoughts are concerning the Father, how they should be accepted with him, what respect he had towards them. Saith our Saviour, take no care of that, nay, impose not that upon me, of procuring the Father's love for you, but know that this is his peculiar respect towards you, and which you are in him. He himself loves you. It is true indeed, and as I told you, that I will pray the Father to send the Spirit, the Comforter, and with him all the gracious fruits of his love. But yet in the point of love itself, free love, eternal love, there is no need of any intercession for that, for eminently the Father himself loves you. Resolve of that you may hold communion with him in it, and be no more troubled about it. Yea, as your great trouble is about the Father's love, so you can no way more trouble or burden him than by your unkindness in not believing of it. So it must needs be where sincere love is questioned. This reading and recording is now concluded on page 24.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at puritandownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.